One of the funniest guys in bass fishing, in my opinion, is Jeff Creed. And I got to tell you this, folks, he's also can catch them. And this past week at Grand Lake, he caught them and got second place at the Grand Lake event. And, Jeff, I guess first thing is, it wasn't that long ago, you and I did a podcast. And in that podcast, you were talking about, man, I'm in the hunt here for the angler of the year, and you just helped yourself a lot with this last finish.
I did, you know. I mean, that's what I said when we talked. I said, man, I got to have top tens, and I did. There's only one little hitch in my plan. Van Dammit finished first, you know. So that makes it tough, man. He makes you work for everything you get, I can promise you that.
Well, you and I were trying to figure out last time, if I remember right on the podcast, we were trying to figure out ways to sabotage him. It looks like it didn't work.
Well, the thing was, we talked about it, but then we decided, no, you know, that wouldn't be right. And we even felt a little bad about, you know, joking about it. But I'm thinking maybe realistically, it's going to have to happen.
I'm thinking, I'm really, honest to goodness, I think right now the way he's fishing, and Jeff, you probably could argue this a little bit, but the way he's fishing right now, I think you can give him one fishing rod, you know, and his boat doesn't even have to run, doesn't have to have a trolling motor, and he'd still catch him, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he would. He'd figure out a way. And the thing, he'd figure out a way to catch him, and he'd catch him well. You know, the thing is with that dude, he's so good, and he knows it, and he's so confident that I think he could be doing the totally wrong thing, and in his mind, he's doing the right thing, and he'd still catch him. It wouldn't matter.
Well, you know, I remember I had an old John boat once, and the steering cables went out, so I used a pair of channel locks. Do you remember ever doing that? You just put a pair of channel locks on the shaft, and that's how you go
over. I've done some humdingers, man.
Yeah, you know, you got to come in. But I think he could do that and still catch him. What a machine. But you came in second, led the tournament on day three, you know, had just a stellar day three in particular, 24-11, I think, in that day. It really rainy, miserable day, and you thought you could catch him the last day, but you went and did everything you could do to try to win this event, right?
Oh, I did. I'm going to tell you now. I mean, I caught more weight the last day than what I weighed in. I mean, I hooked a couple, hooked like a 2.5-pounder kind of deep. And, you know, I threw him back before I had a limit. I let go two or three good chunky fish, you know, like 2.25, 2.5-pounders. Just for the fact that I knew, you know, you cannot cull a dead bass and a bass event. And I knew that if I put one of those fish in a live well, and, you know, because, man, I'm telling you, dude, it was the boat traffic was amazing. Next time I fish Grand, if I make it to Sunday, I'll have two key pieces of equipment with me. I'll wear a cup, and I'll have an inflatable donut to sit on. And I'm going to tell you, running back and forth, I mean, those fish, you had to be real careful because you didn't want to beat them up. But I knew that if I had a 2.5-pounder, you know, that were to croak on me, that, man, how am I going to, you know, I thought I had to catch 20 pounds, and that's what I set out to do. So Van Dam won the tournament. He did. He beat me, but I didn't do what my job was that day. I fished well. I spent all my time in areas. I had maybe 15 places that had fish on them, and some of them were, I mean, they were infested with them. But I never went to them because I knew, you know, they were 2-pounders, 2.5-pounders. And I spent all my time on places where I thought big ones were, you know.
Well, when you go out and you fish, I mean, this is kind of close to home for you. I mean, Grand's known for, you know, it went through, I think, about 4 years ago. They had a little bit of the largemouth bass virus. And, boy, it's come back in a big way. The weight you guys had was phenomenal. But when you're this close, tell me about kind of the mindset. You knew that last day. You weren't nervous. I'm sure you weren't knowing you. You weren't nervous. But you went out there and you said, hey, I got my mindset. Here's what I'm going to do. But was there anything going through your mind? Maybe I ought to go hit this or go do that. And would you have changed anything?
You know, I thought there were some places that, you know, I look back on. I thought, because I almost, you know, I'd be running by them. I go, man, pull in there. Pull in there. But the thing was, I had to fish so slow to get bit. I mean, the way I was fishing, I had to fish very thorough. It was very specific where my bites were coming from. I wasn't just going out there and chunking it. You know, I caught most of my fish on a Carolina rig, and and that's not really my favorite way to catch a bass. But I had to fish it slow to catch the big ones. And the thing was, if I got to trying to hit too many places, I couldn't fish slow. And if I didn't fish slow, I didn't catch big ones. So, you know, the thing I look back on now, and I think, you know what, you might see the shad was a big key to catching them. I had to be around that big shad, and you'd see that shad on your graph, on my Lowrance graph, and that's probably the biggest piece of equipment for me all week. But I look back and I go, man, you should have put on like a medium running crankbait, not a deep diver, and just burned it around some of those big old balls of shad. And you know, and maybe caught, because there were some big old fish just suspended out there, and like, oh, you know, they'd be suspended only about maybe 8 foot deep over, you know, anywhere from 12 to 18 foot of water. And, you know, maybe I should have done that, you know. But, you know, you live and learn, man. I mean, I'll definitely put that, you know, in my little file in the back of my head, and I'll draw for it for some time. But, you know, I don't really have any regrets. I really don't.
Well, you shouldn't have. I mean, you've had a stellar career, you know, in a short period of time. You've won events. You've done very, very well. I think you and Jared Lintner, you told me yesterday, I think we're the only guys that have made every cut, you know, and getting money every cut, and that's pretty neat. And on top of that, you're in the hunt for Angler of the Year.
Well, you know, and I'm going north. I mean, you wouldn't think a little old Oklahoma boy would know much about playing with smallmouth, but, I mean, the lake that I live on, matter of fact, I'm going to go fish a little old Tuesday night wildcat tonight on my home lake. And that's what it has. So I know how to trick those smallmouth, you know. You know what would really feel good to me? A little redemption from Van Dam beating my butt in my own state. I'd like to go to his turf and beat him. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you didn't get the letter in the mail. I sent you a letter. The tournament director for the Tuesday Night Wildcats said that you couldn't fish.
You know what? That's one of those deals where they, if I win, they cuss me. But if I don't win, they all say, I ought to be fishing the pro. I beat that guy on a regular basis. So, you know, I've been fishing those things since I was probably about 11 or 12 years old. My mom used to back me in and dump me off of my bass tracker down there. And, shoot, they're not afraid of me. They're on the lake a lot more than I am. You know what I mean?
Well, that's for sure. Going to Michigan, you know, going up there in his neck of the woods and trying to catch those smallmouth will be fun. I'm sure he'll be ready for that as well.
Oh, yeah, that dude's ready for everything, man. That's Chris.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Angler of the Year. You know, it's a thing that it's kind of on your radar. I mean, it's, you know, you're a couple, two or three places behind, but you've had such a stellar year, and it seems like you're fishing better at every event. That thing's not out of reach, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, most guys probably this week are going to just chill out and do nothing. I'll fish every day. I'm going to fish tonight. I'm going to fish tomorrow. And it's not out of reach. And let me tell you why. Anything can happen in this sport. And if I just keep consistent and all that, I want to go into the last tournament of the year, whether it be a solid chance or even a long shot. It's irrelevant to me. I want to go into the last tournament of the year knowing that if everything's right, I can win Angler of the Year. That's what I want.
Well, and there's no doubt about it. You're on track with that. Now, I'm going to go back to a couple of things you said earlier. You were talking about that donut in the cup. You know, you also dip a little bit. And
well, I've been known to take a dip of tobacco.
Yeah, yesterday. Well, Longhorn. Longhorn is a big sponsor of yours, of course. How was that on that ride?
Oh, man. It was. You had to be really careful, because if you hit one too big, you swallow it. And, you know, and if what I didn't want to have to do is stop in the middle of the lake, and, you know, you always keep a roll of toilet paper in the boat, always.
Well,
and you hope that you don't have to use it. But, you know, when you're bouncing around on 5 foot yachit waves and things like that, and you're trying to manage a dip, you're trying to manage the cameraman to not throw his $2 billion camera out, you know, that's a lot of things that you have to take into account. You know, it's not all about fishing, you know. When you got 50 spectators out there, you know, how do you go to the bathroom?
Yeah, that's rough. You got to kind of go find some bush somewhere or something.
Well, I think you wrap a rain suit around you or something like that.
Well, I guess we're going down a path. I want to make sure I give this disclaimer. Tobacco chewing is not good for your health, kids, if you're listening to this program. And it even though adults are the ones that usually do that, please stay away from tobacco, because it can cause cancer in small animals. But anyway, back to the topic at hand. How do we get on these topics, you and I, whenever we talk?
I don't know. We always veer the wrong way, don't we?
Yeah, well, you know, I think you're veering the right way. I wish I was out there in the position you're in right now for Angler of the Year. And I got one final thing here as we talk. The Elite Series, you know, is gaining notoriety, and I think it's becoming more mainstream. I think I see a lot more television, you know, and that kind of stuff. Fishing, as a general rule, both FLW and bass, is gaining a lot of visibility in the media and a lot of people that are maybe non-endemics. Kind of reflect, if you can, from last year to this year, what are some of the big changes you've seen this year?
I'm telling you, the crowd at Grand was unbelievable. Downpour, I mean, it was awesome. I mean, there was boats. I mean, there were spectator boats out there, not just on day four. There were spectator boats out there from day one. And, you know, ESPN's doing a good job with the shows. I mean, they're getting people are paying attention. Fishermen are getting better. I mean, I wish I'd have had shows like this, you know, when I first started out. I mean, good grief, man. I mean, it's like going to college about fishing on Saturday morning, you know.
Well, Jeff, I appreciate you being with us, and I'm going to go to college and learn how to fish for those fish that you caught at Grand, and maybe someday along the line I might catch one like you caught in that 24-pound bag.
Oh, man, that was a day to remember, I promise you. That was career.
Well, thanks for being with us. Hey, I'm looking forward to the next time because we'll probably talk about something else we shouldn't talk about on that program.
You got it, man. And don't make fun of my white Costa Del Mar sunglasses, man. Those things are kicking butt.
Man, you look like Carol Channing or something. Costa Del Mar is great glasses.
I read the other day in a 17 magazine that said Paris Hilton and all her friends and things like that. It said in, you know, have so you could say in and out.
Yep.
In white sunglasses.
Costa Del Mar white
sunglasses. I'm just trying to be like Paris Hilton in some of those.
Well, you're looking dapper, no doubt about it. You got Dr. Bushwhack going. You got the good sunglasses. You're catching fish. Life is good for Jeff Crete.
That's right, buddy.
All right, brother. Have a great day. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, man.
I'm Terry Brown. This has been Bass Fan Radio.